time. When you move the mind, it's like putting a pencil down on a sheet of paper. And so this mind sends out a line, a mind line. It touches a time and a space and a circumstance, and it begins to send things towards it. And as it sends things towards it, it's receiving things back from it. And a cycle is created of coming and going, the going out and the coming in. May you be at peace in your going out and your coming in, as it says. And so as long as this line isn't disrupted, you are sending truth, receiving truth, it'll be accurate. Unless you let someone get in between you and the flow coming back, and you start taking their interpretations of the flow and not getting direct knowledge. Now, when we're little children, we have to take the reflective consciousness of an adult to tell us things, because we're not able to see them direct yet. We're not focused there. We do not pay attention there until we're focused there. In the Western world here, we're focusing children on the English language. We're focusing them on a particular system of government, a system of a clothing, certain types of clothes to wear. And they don't know any of these things until we give them that light, that we shine that light. And so they're only getting a reflection off of somebody else. They don't have their own choice yet. The quicker you can give the child their own choice, the more intelligently and more self-confident that child will be. And some of you may not have been given the freedom of your free will choice till you were quite older, in your teens, or maybe even in your 20s. And I've had people come to me that were in their 30s, 40s, and 50s and said their mother and father still telling them what to do. And so as long as you're letting somebody stand between you and the true reflection, direct knowledge, then you'll keep getting this twisted point of view, and then you'll start living out of it, and you'll believe that, and you'll be further in the illusion. Because what your senses are bringing you are illusion, transitory. Illusion means something that comes and goes. Your spirit is no illusion. It doesn't come and go. It is constant. The light is constant. It doesn't come and go. It's constant. But your feelings come and go, your thoughts come and go, your activities come and go, your associations with other people come and go, reading comes and goes, eating comes and goes, dressing comes and goes, going to the bathroom, having sex comes and goes. They're all transitory things. They're all transitory things. They're all illusion. They're coming and going. And how can you keep a balance in something that's continuously changing and you're trying to make it stay the same? You're saying, stop the flow. And you can't do that. The only thing, you can get stuck in a vibration that's already had its time. It's already passed. And you can hang out in that vibration and do that vibration, but we'll say, you know, they're not up to date. We'll say they're not very bright because, see, their light has to shine across time and space and circumstance instead of being luminous from the presence. The more present you are, the greater your light shines. And that's the whole principle of rainbow healing, is to let your light shine in such a way that it is attuned to the greatest light, and then that light shines through you. So when you're concentrating on healing, you're not concentrating on diseases. You're not concentrating on people or places or things. You're concentrating on the source of light. You're plugging in.
So is this light within and without?
This light is everywhere present. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient light. It's God's holy breath. He breathed out. It's light everywhere present. It's God everywhere present. It's the power everywhere present. Right here, like you can sense this room, you can sense that power if you're awakened to that power. And so here's this power, this energy, this consciousness, but it is always present. It's never in the past. Past is an illusion of mind. And it's usually fixed upon just what the sense perceive. And what the sense perceived is only the limit that those senses were open, and someone else in that same event may see it differently, and it will be a different past to them. And if they would create it, it would look different to you than when the other person creates it, because everyone is going to see through their rainbow. Now, when I say through their rainbow, is some people are more physical, some people are more emotional. Some people are more mental, some more psychic. Some are more creative, some are more individuals. Some are more universal beings, some are more masterful. Some are more ascended and free, and some are enlightened and in spirit, and some are in God consciousness or God expression. And so, whatever you have as a monopoly of your consciousness is controlling all the other levels. If your emotions is the most one, then it's controlling all the other levels. It's controlling your mind, your body, it's controlling your knowledge, your creativity, it's controlling everything. And when I say it, what is the most is where you have the most consciousness, the most often. The most consciousness, the most often. Do you run around in mental body all day long, thinking and reason and logic and correlating and describing and planning and negotiating and making assumptions, conclusions, comparisons, judgments, opinions, being willful, pushing your body, emotions, mind, eyes, hands, nose, mouth, ears to move, be active, perceive, aggressive, ego-orientated? Is the emotions always taking you in and out? You're feeling good, you're feeling down. It's great, it's not so great. I desire this, I desire that. Somebody hurt me. There's my emotions. Somebody's hurting me. Oh, they don't love me anymore. Yes, they do love me. I'm going to love them no matter what. Crying out and saying, why is the emotional cry. The mental cry is what? What? 50 watts, and it doesn't make one luminous ball. You can't get a lumen on 100 of those watts. 50,000 of watts. Power. Intellectual knowledge has no power. The next level is I understand, I accept, I know. I know, understand, I accept. That's coming from the heart. Then I hear, I get the idea. There's peace in that coming from the throat. I see. I see. Do you see that? Look at that. Look at that, I see. Perceive that. You perceive that. Did you witness that? And I am that. And from that point of being it, being I am that. I am the master living. I am Sisei. I am the rainbow healer. I am the light. I'm God expressing. Are you in that consciousness of being, that what you say I am? Or is it, I'm going to be? I'm going to be, I'm going to be, I'm going to be, I'm going to be. Then you have the carrot hanging out in front of you. I'm gone. Off in the future. Someday I'm going to be, maybe, if, but puts it all off. if, but, maybe. If there's too much must, it'll make you cuss. You say you must do this, you must do that, you must. It's domination, and you'll start cursing. You'll start cursing it away. Then they hold them up against the firing squad. That's good, we got rid of them. Now who's going to get rid of the ones who got rid of them? We eliminate them physically. See, that's the most level basic survival consciousness, is just eliminate the enemy. That would be the way you handle your problems. Kill them. Kill them out in your mind. I'm not going to think about them. They're dead. That's coming from the senses, from the physical dimension. I'm going to eliminate their body, the physical body, their emotional body, their mental body. I'm going to kill it out. Then you go to the next level, emotions. What are they going to do? They're going to forget it. They're going to wallow over it. Roll around with it. And they're going to do all this moaning and groaning and suffering over something that isn't present. Emotion dropping, the past, long. The mind is going to say, I should have did this, I should have did that, I could have did this, I could have did that. Why didn't I do this? Why did they do that? How come I can't get it? They can. There's these other ways. I could probably do it some other way. All these alternatives. I'm just going to conclude this thing. Well, let me see. I assume it was this way. I thought that they thought that 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 I thought that they thought. What I knew. I know what they know that I knew that they know that I know. But I thought that they felt. And they felt that I felt. They felt that they felt. I mean, we got all these. Don't we go through these here? I felt, they felt, I think, say. We go through those. Those are our mantras. Those are the songs we sing to God over and over again. We say, I'm seeking God, I'm seeking God, I'm seeking God. And pretty soon they're laying in bed and they go,
we am sick and tired. I wonder how I got this way.
If you listen to what your mind is saying, if you listen to the sounds of your voice, you hear your emotional tone. So the orange is like the sensations and emotional tones of your consciousness. It makes up a body of your feeling, nature, memories, and sensation. And it isn't the physical aspect of a sexual relationship that gives a person. It is the emotional aspect. That's why they put the ring on the emotional finger. Physical finger, emotional finger, mental finger, psychic finger, spiritual finger. So you put it right there on the old emotional finger, that's to hold it in those emotions. See, now they're contained. They're not longing after everything. They've got what they want now. They're looking on and getting what they want. Put a ring around it. That's how you have power in the emotional body, by focus. Focus puts a ring around it. Just look over here in this place. Points at it. Control your physical body's attention. And when you're in the consciousness of attention, you're drawing red. And when you're in a consciousness of concentration or focus, you're in an orange red. And so your mind is picking up different vibratory rays of light and drawing them by reflection, or it's coming from its true self, and those are radiating from this crystal clear being, a clear crystal ray. They're not reflecting somebody else's joy, someone else's thought, someone else's feeling, someone else's action, not reflecting those things. They're not acting like mommy and daddy, and they're not acting like this hero or that one. They're coming from themselves. They're unique, special, perfect creations of God. And instead, people get into reflective consciousness, and they start reflecting rays, and sometimes those rays aren't good for them. It isn't good for them to eat that color orange. It would make them sick. If they let the bitter sweetness of a mother come over them, or a father come over them, or a brother or a sister or someone else that has bitter sweet emotional feelings come over them, then they're eating somebody else's problem, and they become that problem, a reflected problem, which is almost hopeless, because how can they do anything about it without changing everybody else's got it? See, sometimes when we're trying to get rid of the sickness, we want to eradicate it everywhere. I mean, let's get rid of that cancer everywhere. Let's get rid of that, that problem everywhere. And then we try to work it out of others. We go over there, I stopped drinking, drinking's rock. When I was drinking, I used to drink like a fish, but now I don't drink. It's a terrible thing to do. It's rotten to do to myself. And I know that you were drinking something, so probably coffee or liquor or something like that. And that's rotten to do. See how someone will start doing that to you? And you go, oh, gee, I think I did something. Now I'm guilty. Uh-oh, shame on me. Guilty and shame games start coming. You ever see how people play guilty and shame games on you to try to get you to change your mind? We've all fallen short. All right. See that? Even in religion, they whip you. It's your guilt. Then they say, now you know we need this place for homeless people. 10% of everything you send in will go to them homeless people, 90% go in my pockets, and my friends, and managerial work. Folks, I'm not supposed to tell you that. Some of them are doing that. We don't know. We think they're all legitimate. And then when somebody isn't, we go, oh, they're all wrong. The whole group. I mean, that one bad apple made all the apples bad. And you get into generalizing instead of universal terms. If you're in a universal point of view, you see everybody as a unique individual. Not separate from the whole, but playing the part of the whole, unique that no one else can play. I mean, no one can be you. They would have to take your consciousness to be you. And so this pure consciousness of life, this pure life that you have, I mean, if you're over 7 years old, you've been reading, shaping your body since that time. New cells and everything goes in your body. I mean, there's lots of them. Every 7 years you get new cells. So you're only 7 years old. Except for your brain and your nervous system. Everything else is, I mean, your blood is 7 years old. Your muscles are 7 years old. Your bones are 7 years old. You know how long the master told me I have to practice before I become the living word? He said 7 years. Every day for 7 years. Don't break it. Practice every day for 7 years and you'll be the living word. And I was like, can I do that? And then I was studying with the Tibetans and they were chanting while we were eating. They chant. They chant the scripture. I said, why do these guys chant the scripture while we're eating? Well, so the chant creates a vibration. The vibration goes on the food. You eat the food, it becomes your body, and now you're the living word. Now you're the living word. You are what you eat. You're the vibration. So I think, gee, I've been to some restaurants where I come away with an upset stomach. Maybe I had a chef back there who was mad and throwing things around. The waitress grabbed the food, threw it on my table, and I ate that garbage. I mean, it looked great, but all them rotten vibrations it was on. Arguing over pay and hours they had to work and, gee, too hot in the kitchen and, So you better bless that food before you eat that food. You don't know who's been touching. Unless you grow it yourself. You go out there and you love it every day like they did in Kinghorn Garden. Go out there and talk to the elementals. Get to work there. Do a good job now. You can make the biggest tomatoes there. They have 50-pound tomatoes. Did you know that?
Cool.
50-pound tomatoes. What a salad. You're going to have to make some size bread to get a sandwich at 50-pound tomatoes. Yeah, I'm having a Finhorn sandwich. Because they went out there and they had a rapport of energy and they prayed. Rot grass grows from the bottom. A lot of things grow out of the earth. It grows from the top, I should say. A lot of things grow from the bottom. The rot grass grows from the top. It's one of those that grow out from the top, while other things grow up from the bottom. They keep pushing up from the bottom. So they had a meter on this rot grass at the University of Michigan. And they had 100 people in this class. And they had been monitoring the growth of the rot grass. And so they said to these 100 people, we're having an experiment. What we want you to see is we want you to see that rot grass in the perfect environment, getting the right amount of sun and water and a perfect environment for growing. And as you're seeing that, we want you to pray to God to give that rot grass that environment. So they started visualizing, they started doing the rot grass. At the end of the hour, the rot grass grew 800 times as fast than when they were not praying for it. Rot grass. So if you don't think your prayers have any vibrations or power or light in them, just take a hint from that 100 people praying for that rot grass. When a mother prays for a son, or a father prays for a son or daughter, or a child, or you pray for a mother or father, grandma, grandpa, they pray for you, there's energy, there's consciousness that goes from you to God to them. Because that's where your prayers are directed to. You don't say, send over this work and put it on her. You say, God, your will be done. You don't say it has to be this way or that way. You let God's plan, God's will, and you're an instrument for that will and that power to flow through you, and you're concentrating on God. You're not concentrating on sending that person a particular kind of healing ray. Year after year, decade after decade, we continue to do this exercise that we may stay open and clear. If you don't clean up the channel, it's going to start getting plugged up. You've got to clean your house every now and then. You've got to wash your dishes every now and then. You've got to get your clothes clean every now and then. You've got to clean your mind every now and then. You've got to clean your emotions. You've got to take a shower, or you're going to become a stinker. I know 2 days of working over cutting grass and shoveling things around, My wife says, don't come around me. You didn't take a bath in the last 2 days, did you? And I said, no, I don't think I did. Especially if my eyelashes curl up. I can't get my arm back down. No. Just kidding. But if you don't clean up your mind, it becomes a stinker. If you don't clean up your emotions, they become stinkers. And people don't want to be around you because you have a smelly mind. You have a stinking attitude. You see, they got a stinking attitude. Their attitude is in the direction of the energy coming from the mind, the emotions of the body, from the heart. All this makes an attitude. It takes them towards the point. And if they're going in different directions or kinking or stop falling short or too much of this and not enough of that, we know that that's not the kind of flow we want to get in, so we don't want to be around them. And if you've ever seen somebody and they're flowing and they have all this power and all this energy, okay, just let them get in trouble and watch how many people go away. Just let them change if they're in a loving relationship with a family, they're going along and then they get in a fight and they hate their family. Watch how many people fall away, because the power is a like attracts a like. Birds of a feather flock together. My grandmother told me that when I was 8 years old. And I was studying these great cosmic laws that were secret, as we were learning these secrets about the universe and that. A like attracts a like. Know this law. Birds of a feather flock together. Grandma knows the law. And they would say a law, and she had a saying that said that law. It's better to have what you have than to lose it trying to get what you don't have. See, that's a law. It's better to maintain what you have than lose that while you're trying to go get more, you see. Without this being secure, it's not going to be any more. So, one, the hands work, two, in the bush. That's what Grandma would say. She say things like, if you go looking for trouble, you'll find it. She said, if you're working at a job and you don't like that job, you should quit. Because you're causing trouble to a whole lot of people. First, you're causing trouble to one that wants that job. Then you're probably causing everybody trouble because you're telling them what a rotten job it is. And you're making their lives miserable. And you're the miserablest of all because you're doing something you don't like to do. And the job you really want is empty waiting for you, so why are you messing around that other one and causing all that trouble? Why don't you just go on and get that other job? Grandma would say things like that to him. I just want to know where my teddy bear was. I says, where's the brown teddy bear? Gave me this whole thing about work and jobs and all this stuff, and I was like, I'm 8 years old, I'm too young to work. And then I realized I was working. Every morning at 4 o'clock, they woke everybody up. They all had chores. The chickens, or the ducks, or the pigs, or the horses, or the cows, or milk the cows, or let the horses out, or do something. Take the garbage out, help cook breakfast, build the fire, do something. Everybody had a job. 18 kids and 8 adults. All good. Nobody lays around in this house. When we're up, we're all up. When we go to bed, the kids go first. That's the law. You can say we all go to bed at the same time. So I thought, when we're up, we're all up. Then they get to stay up later. Then when I got to stay up later, I was not big. I'm big now. I get to stay up till I fall asleep at 10 o'clock. I usually went to bed at 9. Everybody went to bed at 9. There was one time when we lived on a farm before we had lights. We just had kerosene lamps and stuff, and they didn't put the lighting in them. Where they said, everybody goes to bed when it's dark. We get up before it's light. So we went to bed when it got dark, and that was longer in the summer and shorter in the winter. So that changed every day. So we were on a different cycle of consciousness than a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week. Our minds operated different because each day the sun sets a little later, or then it gets on a cycle where it rises a little earlier. It goes through the cycle a little later, then back going a little earlier, then it goes back a little later, then it's a little earlier, and the cycle goes on and on and on. And now you're in a solar cycle, and you're not in a man's mechanical cycle. And you're following the full moon, you're following the moon, and it's rising and falling. Now you're in a lunar cycle and a solar cycle. You're not in a man 24-hour a day cycle. Because you describe times like it's before dawn, it's after dawn, it's early morning, it's noon, it's afternoon, it's evening, it's nighttime. Go to bed. You're describing the day differently than it's 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You're in a different consciousness. When you're in the consciousness of the rainbow, it's like that. It's different. It's not the way you usually think. It's not the way you usually feel. It's not the things you usually know. It's not what's going on usual. It's or ordinary. It's extraordinary thought. But it's not extraordinary, but it's extraordinary. You see what I'm saying? Everyone can do it, but not everybody's paying attention to that. Everybody can go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. C, Y, X, W, B, U, T, S, Q, R, O, M, N, L, J, K, I, F, E, C, D, E, A. I mean, go frontwards, backwards. But not everybody goes frontwards and backwards. And the first day I did that, and then the teacher said, what, are you getting smart? And I said, yeah. He says, what, are you a wise guy? And I said, yeah. I thought I was becoming a wise guy. I was getting smart. I thought you went to school to get smart and become a wise guy. And when I said, yeah, they made me stand in the hall. Then she came out and she said, you still think you're a wise guy? I said, yeah. Go to the principal. The principal said, well, who are you? And I says, I'm the wise guy from the first grade. I told him I was the wise guy. I come over there. He said, what's your name? I told him my name. He says, well, what makes you think you're wise? I said, Grandma said, we come to school, we get wise. He says, well, yeah, you get wise, but you're not a wise guy. I said, oh. Well, what am I? He says, well, don't worry about that. Your name is Harrison. You just stick to that. As the teacher asks, just give her what she wants and don't try to give her any more. So I went in there and I said, gee, half the time you've got to be dumb with these teachers. I mean, you can only give them part of everything. They don't want it all. Because you can take anything and elaborate on it. You can take anything and play with it and move it around and have fun with it. But see, some people are serious. I mean, serious. They get real serious about everything. Really did it wrong. What is going to happen to me? imagine all the things that could happen. They died. A coward dies a thousand deaths. When you don't face your problems, it's like a coward dying over and over and over and over again. When you don't face the light. So what happens when you start going over this rainbow bridge, anything that's holding you up will start coming up. Because you're increasing light in each one of those levels, and they'll start brightening up, and you'll begin to see what is holding you back physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, psychically, creatively. If you keep going through these things and your mind drifts off on a color, you say, okay, why did it drift off there? Where are you going? What? We're supposed to be going up here. Each color is equal. And so we started doing the rainbow bridge, and then we could use it to find out what level of consciousness was causing us problem. If we had a problem in that level, we'd stop on that level, we'd talk to that level, make that correction, then we'd start over again and go right through. And every time we got hung up on level, we'd go in that level and talk it over with the light. Okay, red light, what's it on the physical now? And in your subconscious mind, something will come up. You think you don't want to help yourself? I mean, some people don't, so nothing comes up. They don't want any help. Nobody ever helps me, and I'm so weak I can't even help myself. And then you see them, somebody pulled all the bones out, and they're just a glob of flesh laying there in the bed. Covered up her head. What happened? I lost all my bones. Yeah, my own spine anymore. I'm this glob now. Those are my bones stacked up over there. Sounds funny, don't it? But you know, some people are like that. They become limp, like they have no skeleton to hold them up anymore. No strength, no foundation. Physical foundation. Well, sometimes they tear out their emotional bones and they lay around as a glob of emotions. How are you? You doing okay? Can't even get out anything. Or mental. It's rotten. It's terrible. It's rotten. It's worse than anything. I just can't stand it. I can't take it anymore. You're impressed by these statements. Someone yelled them around you and they impress you. And then pretty soon you get to a point you don't have any response. All you have is this old impression, and then you let it out and it becomes part of your soul. You knew it when someone else did that, but now you do it, it's part of you. Become part of your soul. There was a movie on television. Guy says, you know, he says it was called Network or something like that. This guy was going to commit suicide, and so he said that everybody that is tired of things that are going wrong, put your hand out the window and say, "I'm not going to take it anymore," or "I can't take it anymore," or something like that. Yell that. So my little girl's going through the room, and I said, "I can't take it anymore." She moved out. That day she dirties her diaper. None of us ever did that, right? I was sterile in the beginning. I had clean or the toilet paper. Anyway. So I just, you know, we're talking about the breaking. Yeah, I don't know.